Ready for session two, girls? Yes. And guys. So is this will be helping you. Yes. It'll be just sharpening God, sharpening you, because you already know a lot of this stuff. And it's just putting the bolts together. And it's amazing when you hear truth, you know truth. It witnesses with your spirit. It absolutely witnesses. Yeah, this sounds like God. This sounds like what salvation is supposed to look like. Praise the Lord. God's already done the work. Jesus Christ already did the hard stuff. He left us the victory in Christ Jesus. So let's just pray, and then I'll try and get through this pretty fast, because we're just running out of a little bit of time, and then I'll we're going to have some questions and answers time, and somebody just asked a very valid question, and so we may talk about those questions afterwards, just so that you can hear the nuts and bolts on how to flesh this out in your own personal life. So Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you created us in your image. You created us in your likeness, just to be like you, exactly like you. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that just as you rule the heavens, we thank you that you gave us this planet, and you told us to go have dominion and rule the planet, rule our lives, as you rule heaven. And so, Father, we thank you that you sent your Son. You sent, Lord God, Jesus Christ. You sent the living Word, the Word made flesh, and he showed us how to live. And we beheld him, Father, the only begotten of the Father. So we thank you, Lord God, now not only is he the only begotten Father God, there's many sons in glory, many of us. And so, Father, we thank you that as we hear your word, that your word is feeding our spirit, it is renewing our mind, and it is bringing resurrection into our mortal bodies. We thank you right now that even as the word goes out, that your word knows exactly what to do in our body, that life is in our body. Life is in our mind. And we just thank you, Lord God. Satan has no authority. Absolutely under our feet. So we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. So praise the Lord. You've got an outline with this, and I believe that there's enough tools and enough word in here to support what we're saying. And you can go away and you can make this your worksheet, and you can absolutely work with this personally. So I'm just going to go with this and keep on track so that I don't wander off and preach three sermons in one, all right? Okay, so Christianity, we'd already covered this, but Christianity is called the Great Confession. And really what we're talking about here is, this is where I have personally been walking this walk, as I said, for over 30 years, and learning this language to speak this, and to have not confidence in my own self, but it's to say, if anybody boasts, let him boast in the Lord. And so my boast is in the Word. My boast is in what Jesus Christ has done for us. My boast is in this inheritance that we have been given in Christ Jesus. And so if I sound like I'm brash and bold, it's because that's the Word in me that's doing that. And so I'm not meaning to come across as, hey, Vanessa's a Wonder Woman. No, God is a covenant God, and I'm actually displaying His splendor, the splendor of His covenant in a human person. Praise God. And so if we have a look that here, we create our world. Yes, sorry?
Do you have any more outlines?
Any more outlines?
Yes, there.
There's one there, okay. So we create our world with our words. God has made us. God has made us a speaking spirit. A speaking spirit. That's who we are. A speaking spirit. And so if we have a look at this principle here, Christianity is called the Great Confession. Not because we come into the kingdom confessing our sins. We come into the kingdom confessing Christ. That's all we have to do. If you believe in your heart and say with your mouth you're saved, you're saved. We don't have to confess any sin. We just confess, we believe that Jesus Christ died for us, and we confess His Savior. You're saved. And then the old has passed, and God says, behold the new. So we don't even have to go look back. We just look ahead at this new creation. And so what did you do? How did you get saved? You heard the word. Faith came. You believed. You confessed. And you got saved. It's the law of faith, which Paul says we preach. That you hear the word, you believe, and you declare and get into agreement with it. And then you will get healed. The healing manifests that way. Victory manifests that way. You need to hear the word. If you haven't got the word, then you've got no basis.
Amen.
You've got no basis. And so we are absolutely word people. God has given us the word of this covenant. It's our rights and our privileges. It's our inheritance. It's the will in the New Testament. And so we read the New Will, we read the New Testament, and this is our inheritance. This is what we have inherited. It's called the great mystery that the Old Testament believers didn't know it was a mystery. And it was revealed to us. And Paul wrote the letter to the churches, and he spoke about this incredible mystery. And so here we are. Words are the most powerful thing on the universe. The most powerful thing in the universe. And it's interesting, our Proverbs says, life and death is in the power of your tongue. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. And whatever you love to speak, you are going to eat the fruit of that. Wow. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. It's not in the power of Satan. It's not even in the power of God for your life. It's actually in your power. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. And whatever you speak, you are going to eat the fruit of it. Jesus taught that our words are like seeds. Remember, the sower sowed the word, and some fell on, you know, the pathway, some fell on rocky soil, and some fell on good soil, brought forth 30, 60, 100 fold. Jesus taught about that, and he said the sower sows the word. And so our words are like seeds. And every word is going to produce after its kind. Jesus said, or God said, in Genesis chapter 8, he says, after Noah, he said, after Noah, he said, I'm not going to flood the earth again. He says, but he said, there's going to be seed, time, and harvest. This will never cease. And so everything in the planet operates on the law of seed, time, then harvest. And so our words will operate on that level as well. There's a seed that you sow with your words. There's going to come time for it to germinate, and then there will be a harvest. And you see, Christians are oftentimes cursing themselves, and they continually curse themselves. I'm dying to go here. I would never say I'm dying to go anywhere. I live. I live and I don't die. That's what the word says. And so we're looking at what we speak with our words. Oh, I can never do that. I can't do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. Never again will I confess I can't afford that. Why? Because my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. If I confess I can't afford that, I've sown a seed. There's going to come time for it to germinate. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and it's going to produce a harvest. And you see, the thing is that the church doesn't realize that, or many in the church don't realize that. And so when the harvest comes of sickness, disease, or death, they forget what put the whole thing in motion. They sowed their seed back here, and it took a bit of time, and then it manifested. And people don't join the dots together and realize, hey, what was in my mouth? Life and death is in the power of your tongue, and what you love to speak, you will eat the fruit of it. Proverbs 6 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken captive by the words of your mouth. You see why? Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And so I know what's in your heart. Why? Because I'm going to listen to you, and I can hear what you're saying. And whatever you whatever you're saying, that's coming out of the resource of your heart. And so, in our New Zealand culture, we can tend to be good at putting each other down, and we just laugh about it and put ourselves down. That's actually been trained into us, and it's to keep you at a manageable level so you don't rise up and take dominion over all the earth. God says, go and take dominion. That was the instruction in the book of Genesis. God says, take dominion over the earth. Rule and reign in the New Testament, in this life, by one Christ Jesus. How am I going to rule with the words of my mouth? Because God says that where the words of a king are, there is power. And so we're kings and priests in the earth. And so where the word of a king is, there's power. Job says, you shall decree a thing, and it will be established. Will be time, it will be established. And so God wants the church to start to get faith and have faith in the words that you speak, so that we're not so flippant with what we say, but that we're strategic, that when we declare some things in the spirit realm, they will come to pass. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything else is evil. Okay? And so that's what God says, to be very precise, that we're kings and we're decreeing over our life. What are we saying over our children? We're starting to become very careful about what we say. And when Stephen and I came into this teaching to begin with, all of a sudden we had nothing to say. Because everything that we said, if we put it through the microscope of God's word, it didn't agree with God. It kind of sounded similar, but it didn't agree. And so for a while there, we had nothing to say. Because everything we said had a negative slant on it, or a limitation, or there was future. Or my back is sore. Well, if my back's sore, my body's telling me, my response with the words of my mouth, by his stripes I'm healed. And so I'm interpreting everything that's happening in my world through the word. Because I know that the word was created. The whole world was created by words. In the book of Genesis, God created the world by words. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, in fact, let's have a look here. It says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. Nothing happened until God spoke. Here is the presence of God. In fact, it's interesting, if you have a look at that word in the Hebrew, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. If you look at that in the Hebrew, it says it was a chaotic mess. And so theologians believe that God created the heavens and the earth, but he doesn't create confusion. If you have a look at Jeremiah, something happened between God created the heavens and the earth, and it's called the gap theory. They believe that when Satan reneged against God and rebelled against God, he was kicked out of heaven, came into the earth and destroyed it. And so what we see here, when God was hovering over the face of the waters, and then God came back into the earth and he spoke light, many believe that that was the recreation of the earth. And so if you have a look at it in the Hebrews, the earth was without form and void. It says the earth was in a confusion. God doesn't create confusion. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And so something happened here. The Hebrew brings it out incredibly well. The earth was without form and void. There was confusion. That's not God. So something happened. So if you carry on looking there, it says, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. Now nothing happened. Confusion was there. Until God spoke and said, let there be light. And that word recreated everything. And you have a look in the book of Genesis. God said, let the earth bring forth. Let the earth bring forth. And it was so. Let the earth bring forth the great secret. And it was so. And so you see, God is very accomplished. He is very, he can just speak and it happens immediately. We are learning we're growing up in all things into Christ. So when your words don't happen immediately, it's because you haven't grown up and you're not walking in the perfection of this. But when God speaks, like Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth, bang. When he spoke to the storm, stop, it stopped. And so just because we may not see the manifestation as quickly, we just keep going like a child until our words are developed enough, and our believing in our words are developed enough that as soon as we say it, it's done. Because in the spirit realm, it's already done. It's just a matter of the natural realm catching up. And so our world, if we have a look at that, our world is created by words. We were created by words. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let him have dominion. And so they made us. The three of them, God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. They made us in their image. And he shaped the physical body, but our spirit being was made by speaking. And he created us exactly like himself. We are a talking or a speaking spirit. And we create with the words of our mouth. And whatever we love to speak, we're going to eat the fruit of that. And so if you have a look at what your life is like right now, have a look at what you're saying. Like parents speaking over their child. Oh, that child is, you know, in fact, I don't know the language because I don't speak it. But what do some people say about that child? Oh, this one here is a busy child. Or I mean, I don't know. What do you say? I mean, I don't know how to curse somebody. It's not my language. Anyway, let's move on here. So, number three, we live in a word system. If we can understand that, and we do, that we live in a word system. The whole planet operates like this. As we see, God created the world with words. It says here in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And so by our words, we're going to make some things. And as I sort of said, it may not come as quickly as God because we're not as accomplished and we're not as mature in what we're doing. But you can be sure what we're saying. I never have enough money. I never have enough. To me, that's a curse. That's a curse. That's cursing my life. When Stephen and I had no money and we were living, we didn't have very much at all. We were believing God for socks. We were believing God for everything. We just didn't have a budget. But there was no budget for clothing, so we had to actually thank God and believe it, and it came in supernaturally. And for 2 years while we were going to Bible college, we would declare and speak out of our mouth Deuteronomy 28. Thank you, Father God, that, Lord, we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Lord God, that you've blessed our basket, you've blessed our storehouse, that the enemy comes in one way, he blesses before us seven ways. We'll lend to many nations, we shall not borrow. We spoke all of that for 2 years. And we just declared, we tithed and gave our tithe to the Lord faithfully. And in fact, in 35 years, we've not missed a beat in bringing our tithe before the Lord. God says, give me the first and the best. And we've done that ever since we found that truth as a young believers. And God gets the top. He gets the first. He gets the best. He's given us his first. He's given us his best. How can I not give him my best? So we give up to that as an eternal principle. And so we would do that because we want to get involved in God's financial system. And God said that I have given you the power to get wealth. He has given us the power to get wealth. Why? So that I can establish my covenant on the earth. And so we've taken that literally. And so praise God. We believe God that we go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. That's our confession. We will not agree with lack. We will not agree with debt. We do not agree with that. We agree with what our covenant says. Our covenant says that God has blessed us. Satan can't reverse that. That God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That he was made poor for us, that through his poverty, I've been made rich. Absolutely, that's our covenant. And every time I'm speaking that, those words are going out, and they're creating, and they're bringing that. So I am moving into my future, and my future is actually prosperous. Why? Because I've sent my words ahead of me. I'm sending my words ahead of me, so that when I get there, I'm blessed. And then I keep on sending them ahead of me, and so whenever I reach my future, it's actually blessed, and it's going from strength to strength. Within a two-year period, our income had doubled. We went from, I think it was $1,200 a month back then, to $2,400 a month. We went from $2,400 a month to $1,000 a month, and we're talking over 26 years ago. Not only that, but we declared that we had a car. We didn't have a decent car at that time, and you've heard the stories. When we declared, all we could believe for at that time was a blue Cortina. We had four children, and the place was getting packed. We only had a Valiant station wagon, a ute, and so the kids didn't fit in that anymore. And so we got a hold of this and thought, okay, we're going to declare this. We're tithing. We're in covenant with God. God says that whatever you ask, whatever you desire, believe you receive and you shall have. So the two of us got into agreement. If two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said that. So we took him literally and we said, Jesus, you said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, you shall have it. And so we believed for a blue station wagon Cortina. And we thank God, going to Bible school every day, we praise you, Father God. I mean, our tithes were bald. I mean, it's just, you know, if people see where you come from, and they see where you are now. And so we just thank God. Well, it was about three years later that Stephen's company turned around and they bought a brand new one. It was a two-year-old blue Falcon station wagon, $26,000 back then. And they turned around, and it was his company car for a couple of years, and then they turned around and they gave it to us. Can we manipulate that? No. That our words went before us, and they made our path straight. The word goes before and it takes out the crooked places and makes it straight. We declare in Jesus' name that our income doubled. We declared ourselves prospering. $1,000 a week was pretty good money back then. Not only that, but we actually had 4 children, Stephen was Austrian. We didn't have the money to just budget to go back to Europe. Our boss paid for 6 people to go back to Europe. Did we ask her? No, they gave it to us. We sent our words out. Whatsoever things you desire. God's giving us an open check. He's our dad. What do you desire? Believe that you receive it. And you'll have it. Whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe that I've said yes. Believe it. Write it down. And you shall have it. And so that's what we did. We believed for our bread baker that way. We just sowed a seed and said, Father God, we like a bread baker. I had this piece of, you know, just young kids, darling, 20, 23, 24 years old. And so I had this A4 sheet of paper and I'd stick things on there. And just so I remembered what I was asking for, because I was asking for so much because we didn't have anything. And so believing for coffee tables, believing for bread bakers, believing for clothes. I had a lady that would come in from Singapore every year and brought me the most beautiful labeled clothes. Stephen was believing for socks. There was a guy that used to come in through the States and he would bring socks and ties for Stephen. And I'm continuing to believe God for things like that all the time to exercise my faith. I mean, last year, as I said to the girls last year, I was thinking, goodness me, Stephen, I haven't believed God for a car for about 10, 15 years. And so I thought, this isn't good enough. I am not exercising my faith. I mean, it's like going down the gym or running around the block. I mean, this, I'm like, come on, Vanessa, what are you doing? You're just being lazy. No, I'm not lazy. I was just saying that to myself. I said, okay, Father God. I said, I want a car. And I was just thinking, okay, I'm not releasing my faith for this right now. I just want to just talk to you and see what I want. And I was saying to Stephen, I wouldn't mind a European car. And Stephen says, Vanessa, these European cars, they cost a lot to maintain. I said, well, I'm thinking of a new one. And and so I was just looking at that, and he was wanting me to get a small car. I said, no, I don't want a small car. I said, I want a medium car. So I said, I don't want a big car. I don't want a small one. I want a medium one. So I said, all right, Lord, I don't want to be confessing. I've got a car. I said, I don't have time for that. There's too many lost people out there. And I just need to be focusing on that. And I said, you know what I want. And so I was just, and again, I've been in this 20, 30 years. So initially when you start off, you need to write down, be specific. So I took that before the Lord and I just said, Dad, what am I going to have? And I just sense God saying, Vanessa, you've given me your best. Let me show you my best. Let me show you my best. And I thought, oh my goodness, Dad is going to give me a present and it's going to be his best. I wonder what it's going to look like. And this was in June, July, my birthday was in September. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to get it for my birthday. I just had the sense that my dad was going to get this. Anyway, we're at the office and these people turn up to our office. They made an appointment to see us, and they put this square thing on the coffee table, and they said, "This is yours." And I said, "Oh, thank you. I look like a CD player, was it a tape or something like that?" And I thought, "Okay, I mean, thank you. What's that?" And they said, "Oh, it's yours." And I said, "Oh, okay." And they said, "It's outside. Have a look." And so we had a look outside, and I looked outside, and I go, "Oh, okay." And they said, "Well, don't you want to drive it?" They said, it's your car. And God had spoken to these people. They bought a Renault. It was a brand new car. It was a medium size. It has a Bose system that's had 800 sound checks done on it. It's one of the top line here. It has heating in the seats. It has heating in the thing. It's a European car. It's top shelf. And it was just when God said to me in my heart, let me show you my best. It was like, wow. Hey, Vanessa, I'm going to show you something. You know, and so that's me knowing that I'm good enough to receive. Knowing that my dad is my dad. And he's your dad. And he absolutely adores you. He will leave 99 to get to you and to give you. But according to our faith, it shall be done to us. And so God is wanting to grow the church's faith to know that you are worthy of the best. That God has made you worthy. He gave his best who is his son. So that he could lay on you his best. And it says that if he's given you his son in Romans, if he has not withheld his only son from you, how much more shall he give to you?
How much more? In fact, that scripture in Romans, it says that he has not withheld his only son from you. How much more shall he give? And so my faith was out of that place where I know that my dad says I'm worthy. He made me worthy. And so I thought, my goodness me, Dad. We only took a few weeks for that to come in. It was about 5-6 weeks. Whereas the last time it had taken about 3 or 3.5-4 years. And so, you see, the Bible talks about great faith. It talks about little faith. It talks about no faith. It talks about exceedingly growing faith. And so there's different levels of faith. And whatever you come in on level, you see, no faith says, the storm is hitting us. We're going to perish in the boat, Jesus. And he said, he gets up, speaks to the storm, uses his faith, and speaks to the storm and says, peace be still. It stops immediately. And he looks at the guys and says, how is it that you've got no faith? They should have had faith because Jesus at the beginning said, before they got on the boat, we're going to the other side. That was the word of the Lord. We're going to the other side. It doesn't matter if there's a storm halfway through. The word of the Lord was, we're going over to the other side. They had the word. And so when the storm hit, which is when Satan comes, you've got the word. And you speak that word. And so when the storm came, because Jesus was lying at the back of the boat sleeping, he put his word out before him. And so he went to sleep. Why? Because the word was going to do its work. It doesn't matter what Satan came to do. The word was powerful to get them from where they were to where they needed to be. But we're going to perish it. He says, where was your faith? My word is powerful to take you out. So that's no faith. Somebody that speaks what the circumstances are saying. The circumstances are, hey, I haven't got money. I've gone bankrupt. Hey, my children are sick. We haven't, you know, what else? You know, we're depressed. We're addicted. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I'm depressed. I have not got enough money. I can't pay my bills. What is that? That's no faith. That's the definition of no faith according to the Word of God. And look at Thomas. Where is your faith? He says, I'm not going to believe Jesus until I can put my finger in your palm. And Jesus said, listen, Thomas. Okay, here's the parsley. He says, look. He said, but do not be faithless, but believe it. You see, he said, I'm not going to believe until I see. Well, you see, that's not faith. Because you see, faith believes before it sees. And so I'd already believed I had the car. And every time I was driving down the hill in my old car, I was just going, thank you, Dad. And every time I felt thank you, Dad, the anointing of the presence of God was just tingling. I was thinking, oh, I can't wait to see what he's going to do. You know, if you've got a dad and he wants to show off to his girl and he wants to just show how big and cool he is, you know, wives and men, they've got husbands that have just, you know, when they get a little bit, you know, like then they want to show off to their kids that they're the hero. Well, God's our hero. He wants to show off to you and how big he is and how much he loves you and how he wants to surprise you. If it's in your personality to surprise people for birthdays, where did you get that beautiful part of your personality from? It came from our Father. And he wants to show us things. He's made a paradise for us. And he wants to show off everything he's created. And he wants you to eat of the land. He says to Abraham, go on into the land that I want to show you. He says, walk in the depth and the length and the height of it. He said, listen, it's a land filled with milk and honey. He says, I want the nations to envy you. I want to bless you so much that all the unsaved look at you and you're going to be God's advertising campaign. They spend billions on advertising to advertise their company or their corporation. God wants to bless you so much that the unsaved see you and they look at your God. King Cyrus says, I know, Daniel, that your God is the living God. There was 4 emperors that knew that God was the living God because of the authority that Daniel walked in. He says, I know he's God Almighty. Nehemiah went before Cyrus, and Cyrus says, I'm absolutely going to bless you because I know that the living God, and I want the living God on my side. And so King Cyrus financed the whole rebuild of the walls of Jerusalem. Because somebody in the Old Testament, Nehemiah, was walking in his covenant. Even though he was actually in the captivity of 70 years at that time. But he was not under that captivity. He was on top of it. And so we're not under, we're on top. Praise the Lord. And so we create with our words. And we send our words ahead of us as our servant. Have a look in Isaiah 55, 1. Point number 5, I believe it is. God sends his word out like servants to accomplish things. And so this is where we're strategic. Isaiah 55, 1 says, God's speaking, he says, so will my word be, you've got it on your outline, so will my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. And so God sends his words out to accomplish something. And it's interesting how the centurion, when he came to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, he says, my servant is sick and he's lying at the point of death. He says, come and lay your hands on him and he shall be healed. And he shall live and he shall be healed. And Jesus said, I'll come and lay my hands on him, sorry. Jesus said to the centurion, I'm going to come lay my hands on him and he shall be healed, he shall live. And the centurion turns around and he says, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. He says, you speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. You speak the word only. He says, because he says, I'm a man under authority. And he said, and I send people out to do a job and they do it. He said, so I understand. He was basically saying to Jesus that you're a man of authority and you just need to put the word out and the word will go do it. Isn't that an incredible picture? And Jesus said, oh my goodness me. He said, I have not found such great faith. No, not in all Israel. What is great faith? Great faith is speak the word only and it shall be. Great faith. So if you want to know where you are, if a situation comes, a situation happens, you speak the word only and it shall be. And let the word do the work. Because the word is creative. It says here in Hebrews 11, 12, it says the word of God is living and powerful. Another translation says the word of God is alive. It's living. It's powerful. It's creative. And I send it out and it will do that job. And as I just declare that, you see, we're resting on our words. This is not our words. This is the word of the covenant. This is God's word. Yeah. And it will accomplish. And so if you're standing against sickness right now, send out the word, by his stripes, I am healed. Amen. That is going in. Now, you may not experience the manifestation in the natural immediately then. But you keep speaking it, keep speaking it, keep speaking it. And eventually, as you walk into your future, it's there. But you keep saying it. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of my... What does it say? God says, let the weak say, I am
strong.
Let the poor say, I am
rich.
Why? Because of what God's done. What God's done. What God's done. And so we can say that. And in fact, Hebrews says, because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can say, the Lord is on my side. What can man do to me? Because he has said it, I can say. Yeah. He has said this, so then I can say that. Isn't that incredible? That's in Hebrews 12. Because he has said, I will never leave you. I can say, the Lord is on my side. What? My Lord is my help. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus spoke to the wind. He said, peace be still. He spoke to devils and said, get out. And they left. He sent his word and delivered them. He sent his word and delivered them. And you see, we're made of his image and likeness. We send our word out. We keep sending our word out. Send our word out. He makes my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. He makes my tongue. I'm writing my future. I'm writing my now and I'm writing my future with my tongue. I'm putting his word in my mouth. The word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be healed. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be prosperous. Just keep on speaking that. Keep on speaking that. So Jesus cursed the fig tree. And that was interesting there, if you ever look at that, and that's a teaching in itself. But he spoke to the fig tree and he said, no man eat fruit of you hereafter. And they walked into Jerusalem, they walked back out past the fig tree, they went back to Bethany, and then the next morning they got up and they came back in walking into the temple again. And as they walked past the temple, Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, the fig tree that you cursed has withered up, and the word says from its roots. And Jesus turned around and said, have the faith of God. In fact, it says have faith in God, or have, in fact, the English says have faith in God. The Greek says you can have the God kind of faith, and this is how it works. If you shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things you say shall come to pass, you will have whatever you say. And there's three times Jesus mentions saying in one scripture. Believe once, say three times. So some teachers say you need to believe once, you need to speak three times as much. Say, say, say. So we have the faith of God. God has given to every person the measure of faith. We're talking about believers. So you have the measure of faith. Jesus said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you'd say to this mountain, be removed. So it's not that, hey, because they were coming to Jesus saying, Jesus, give us more faith. He said, you don't need more faith. He said, if you've got a faith as a mustard seed, he says, you can say to that mountain, be removed, and it will obey you. It will obey you. And so we have the measure of faith. We were given God's measure of faith. And so we just need to use it. But you see, Jesus talks about dead faith. What's dead faith? Dead faith is believing in the heart but not speaking. You see, it's not finished. The deal's not finished until you say. You see, you can't get saved by just believing. Even the devils believe and tremble. But they ain't getting saved because they're not confessing Him as Lord. And so we can believe, we can have faith in our heart, but it's not released or activated until we speak. Are you getting this? And so you've already got the measure of faith in the heart. It's not about Jesus giving me more faith. You've already got the measure of faith. And now what we're doing is, as faith comes by hearing, you're watering that faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you activate it in your life by speaking. By speaking and by declaring. Okay, so you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth. So faith is whoever says and does not doubt in his heart, but believe what he says will come to pass, will have what he says. That's the law of faith. And so Jesus turns around and he talks about, in fact, let's go here. Let me just quickly give you a couple of examples. In Job, if you have a look at the example there, what about Job? Job chapter 3, I'll read this to you. Job 3, verse 25, 26. We're looking at how our words can either justify us or our words are going to condemn us. And that takes on a new look. Either our words are going to justify us, we're going to see the covenant in operation, or our own words are going to condemn us and we're going to live under the curse. Job here, a lot of people say, well, what about Job? Look at all the things that God did to him. It was nothing to do with God. Job's own mouth was his undoing. It says here, Job said in verse 3, verse 25 and 26, it says here, for the very thing I dreaded has happened to me. He was in dread. And what I feared has come upon me. I have no ease, I have no quietness, I cannot rest. Turmoil has come upon me. Job was actually giving up offerings weekly. If you look at that in the chapter 1, he was offering, saying, pre-adventure that my children have sinned against the Lord. And so he was offering in fear. And fear is a negative form of faith. It's the opposite of faith. What you greatly fear shall come upon you. And so he was fearing this, and so he was giving offerings to the Lord because he thought that he was, and his children were sinning against him. And we have to remember that Job did not have a covenant with God. He did not know teaching like this. And he was very wealthy, and even the situation he went in was only a 9-month period. And when he realized what he'd done, he said, I have not spoken as I ought to have spoken. If you read the book at the end of the book, and God came and he actually doubled and prospered him, and he ended up doubling after 9 months. Everything that he lost, he ended up getting back and doubled. And so if people think that they're a Job, well, I'd like to see them in 9 months' time, and I'd like to see them double their income. Because that's the blessing of God. Not being, hey, a Job for the last 50 years. No, we're not that. That's not us. And plus, that's old covenant. But he said, he lets us know here, that the thing I dreaded has come upon me. I feared and I spoke. Out of his mouth he was speaking fear. And that gave Satan authority in his life to bring that to pass. Because Satan came to God and said, look at Job, you've blessed him. And God said, he's actually in your hands. And God wasn't lying. He was just saying, hey, the guy's in your hands. He's speaking out of his mouth. and that curse came upon him. Have a quick look at this one here. In Isaiah 54, again, this is really good scripture for you. It says, in righteousness you shall be established. So are we establishing ourselves in the Word? Establishing myself in my righteousness. So if we are established in our righteousness, what does it say? You're going to be far from oppression. For you shall not fear, and you're going to be far from terror. It's not going to come near you. And so when I was growing up and I was having fear, I was oppressed, I was just absolutely down. And I thought, what I need to be established in my righteousness and declare that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that I am unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. God has sealed me with the Holy Spirit of covenant, that I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. As I was speaking that word, I was establishing my righteousness. And as I established that righteousness in me, oppression started to be far from me. I was no longer in fear. It couldn't come upon me because I was now established in righteousness. And so as we're speaking that word over our lives and becoming established in our covenant, oppression is far from you. Fear is far from you. It can't come near you because you're now established in the kingdom. How are we going? Have a look at this. Have a look at just a couple of examples of two people here, two sets of people, the 10 spies. Let's just read this, and so I stay on track. It says here, when they were coming in and having a look at the giants, have a look at the two confessions. Both groups got exactly what they confessed. Have a look at this. Numbers 13. We went into the spies were going out. Moses said, go and spy out the land. They came back with a report. We went into the land of which you sent us. Truly, it's the land of milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, they said, the 10 spies said, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. And he said, let us go in at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than us, than we are. And they gave the children of Israel what God calls us a bad report of the land for which they spied out, saying that the land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people who we saw were men of great stature. They saw the giant, they saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in theirs. Now both these groups got exactly what they confessed. Caleb said, as the Lord lives, he said, we are well able to take it. We are well able to take the land. God has given them into our hands. The 10 spies, they said, we're going to die in the wilderness. And you carry on reading the story, they died in the wilderness. They got exactly what they confessed. They said, we're going to die out here, and they died out there. What was it, God's fault? No, out of their mouth, they spoke death. And the two people that confessed, we can take on the land. Now, they had to wait 40 years until these ones died off. But when Caleb came into the land 40 years later at 80 years old, he said, as is my strength back then, so is my strength right now for coming and going. He says, Joshua, give me the mountain. Give me the mountain. I'm going to take it down. And he took that mountain down at 80 years old. Sometimes the people we hang around with can actually cause us to stay where we are, you know, and that's another story in itself. Hanging around with people of faith and helping yourselves, husbands and wives and children, helping yourselves to walk by faith. Joshua said, I'm a strong man. Caleb said, I'm a strong man. And they got exactly what they said. Now, God can get the blame for that, but God had nothing to do with it. He said, the land's flowing with milk and honey. They said, the giants are in the land. We're grasshoppers. Well, did they ask the giants? No. And if you read Rahab was on the wall. And when Josh sent his spies on there, the giants were frightened of them. They said, we heard what you've done. And our fear has... I think Rahab said, the strength has left us because we heard about you. We heard about your God. And we've been waiting in Jericho, frightened. So that's what the giants were feeling. And yet, the children of Israel turned it around the other way. And so Satan is afraid of you. And he doesn't want you to hear this. Because he knows when you hear this, you shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free. The truth makes you free. He doesn't want you to hear. He's frightened. As you hear this word, you're taking down giants in our own lives, in our families, in our city. And so I'm encouraging you, whatever's going on in your city right now, you don't agree with it, and you know in the spirit what's right and what's wrong. You're saying no. With, you know, all the stuff that's going on with marriage, all this, all stuff like that. Let's just join together and in the spirit realm say no, not in our land. Not in our land. We're saying no. We don't have to say it to everybody else because the spirit realm can hear it. And your breath closes, speaking no. The spirit realm hears those words go out and they won't return void. They will accomplish. Praise God. And so we're there to call things that are not as though they were. That's what God did with Abraham. Abraham was barren. And he was barren for 25 years, but God said, I have made you the father of many nations. So God spoke in the present tense. I have made you. As far as God was concerned, it was done. And God just kept on saying, I have made you the father of many nations. It's interesting, when God changed Abram's name to Abraham, Abram means blessed, I think, or one of those names. I think I'm not sure what it means right now, but it means prince or something like that. But Abraham means father of many nations. And in the Hebrew, in Israel at that time, when you spoke your name, you were declaring things and everyone knew what you were saying. And so when God renamed him and spoke her name was Sarai, which means contentious. When he called her Princess Sarah, she changed her name. He changed Abraham's name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And he started confessing, I'm the father of many nations. Within 3 months, she conceived and had a child. Wow. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely incredible. He spoke, I'm the father of many nations. And he did not look at his own body, which was now dead, but he looked at the promise. And the Bible said he grew strong in faith. And so growing faith, he looked at the promise. And when you look at the promise, you're growing strong in faith. And their faith becomes mature, and then it brings forth that thing. Praise the Lord. And so what are we speaking over our families? What are you speaking over yourself? God is asking you, have a look, slow down, and just listen. What are you saying? And then just start to write a plan. And then write the vision, make it plain, so that he that reads can run. And so God's saying, we're not running off just saying anything. Sit down, grab a victory program book, and start to see, okay, what am I supposed to say in the area of prosperity? What am I supposed to be saying in the area of healing? What am I supposed to be declaring? What's your word about my children? And then just start to declare that over your life. Speaking that over your life. I'll just finish with this story. Our two older children, they had gone away from the Lord for a period of time. Joshua and my second daughter, Shekinah, and they were living with people. They started living together with different, you know, Joshua was living with a girl and Shekinah was living with a guy. And because they were older, Stephen and I were thinking, what are we saying here? We weren't agreeing with it, but we didn't quite know our authority. We were thinking, okay, they're old enough now. They're making their own choices. When we were still declaring, we just thank you, Father, that God, our seed is blessed, that as for us in our house, we serve the Lord. As for us in our house, we serve the Lord. But we were kind of a bit casual about it because we were, okay, what's going on? And then the revelation came to us. We brought these children forth from our loins. We are a holy nation. And what we say, God, this is our nation. We've started a nation from our loins. And so we rose up and a righteous anger got a hold of us. And we just started to say no in the spirit realm. And got serious. We kind of move from being kind of, okay, they're making their own choices. We thank you, Father God. Kind of thinking, well, one day they're going to come back to the Lord. That was kind of our thinking. And the spirit realm knew that. And so this had been going on for 2 or 3 years. And these were kids that were absolutely on fire and just taken out. And so we just got this righteous anger. You know, like Jesus said, the zeal of the Lord, when Jesus went into the temple, there was this righteous anger that said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, and he turned the money tables over. And so Stephen and I got in that mode, and we just said, no, in the spirit realm. We have brought the seed, and I'm saying it right now, as my spirit was, our spirit was righteous anger. There is such a thing as righteous anger. We said we brought these children forth from our womb. The first person they were dedicated to was our God. They're yours, brought forth to serve you. And so we said no, and we declared no to those relationships. We said no, and we said it carefully, we said no to these relationships under the present configuration. Because we didn't want to curse these people, and we didn't want to say no because they may have been married and may have been the plan of God. So we just said no under the present configuration. No! Within 1 week, Shekinah came home. When we got serious. within 1 week she came home. Within a 6 month period, that relationship that Joshua had with the school broke up. She got born again, went down south. And my daughter since then is now married, and now she's back in church full on, our PA in our church. Just absolutely, her name is Shekinah Shalom, and that was her name. You know, and we called her the glory and the peace of the Lord. And she knows that my name is the glory of the Lord. Nothing lost, nothing broken, nothing missing. Shalom. You know, and she said that life there. She said, I don't even remember it. It's just like it's just gone. And she'd been serving in youth and going absolutely, and then all of a sudden something just came in and just took her sideways. It just shocked us. And I'm back in marriage with a beautiful guy, just absolutely full on. And that happened when we decided strategically, what are we going to say? And then once we put our word out, that's it. That's the word. And not kind of, you know, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. And so before we put our word out, we're looking at what we're saying, and then you lock that in, and you're not letting it go. And then having done all to stand, you stand therefore. And when Satan comes, you put up the shield of faith, which quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one, saying, has God said, has God said, has God said? Yeah, my shield of faith says, yes, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And fight that thing off, and kick that thing, get it off of your mind, and just declare that word. And God will watch over that word, and he will perform it. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your powerful word. God, we thank you. Lord Jesus, that you are the word made flesh. We're talking about you here. We're talking about Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank you for this covenant. We thank you that we have a sure salvation, a sure foundation, Father, in your word. That you've made us free through your word. As we learn that word, Father, and this word sets us free, we're free today. In Jesus' name, amen.